This evening, we've got welcoming and opening remarks and a reminder of Robert's Rules of Orders during the presentation. We're going to vote on our February minutes. We did not have a March meeting for SHAC. We'll review any bylaws that are relevant to our agenda this evening. Then we will vote on filling our remaining 7 voting membership spots. We have 3 subcommittees who are going to report out this evening with their recommendations for student health in 2024-25. And then if we have enough time afterward, we will discuss those recommendations and hold a vote. If we do not have time, then we will discuss at the end of this session, reconvening in May for that discussion and vote, because that is the final business of the SHAC to close up the 23-24 school year. And we don't want to rush it if there are unanswered questions or other things that we need to consider. So we've got that time built in. Don't feel that we have to move forward if you have things that you still need answered or would like more information on. And then we will adjourn at 6 p.m. Any questions? All right. Let's remember our purpose. The purpose of the SHAC is to ensure our school district's school health programs reflect our local community values. And while we are here as a group, we're going to be committed to remaining solution-driven. I want all of you to take care of your needs. You are grown-ups. Feel free to step out if you need to use the restroom, get a drink of water, take a phone call. We do have some snacks and waters this evening and keep us going. I know most of y'all have had a long, hard day. And let's be mindful to listen to others and seek to understand before being understood. All right, when we get to presentations this evening, remember that we do not interrupt the presenter while they are speaking. When they have concluded, then we will have a time for open discussion. You may present one question or comment during the discussion after each presentation. If you have more questions beyond that, in order to be mindful of our time constraints, I'll ask you to hold those questions. If we can answer those via email, we'll handle it that way. If we need to reconvene in May and address those questions, then we'll handle it that way instead. All right, we need to review and approve our February, so our meeting minutes. Do I have, yes, all of our executive committee members are present. Do you have a motion from one of you to approve our February minutes as posted on our website?
I move to.
Okay. Do you have a second? All right. All voting members present, indicate with aye or raising your hand if you vote to approve the February meeting minutes as presented on the BISD website.
Okay.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Those are approved. All right, remember our bylaws indicate that for voting membership in the SHAC, which is to be no fewer than 10 and no more than 30 voting members for a school year, the voting members must consist primarily of students, of actively enrolled BISD students. In addition, voting members may be employed by BISD in the current school year, or they may own a business within the Bastrop ISD boundaries. So we approved previously 23 members who had applied for voting membership in January, and that left us with up to 7 vacancies and according with Texas Health and Human Services guide for SHAC. So this evening we would like to present 7 names that we received that met those eligibility criteria during our second application window that we opened up following our last meeting. So to the executive committee members, I present the names of Sheila Lowe, Christy Schultz, Corey Wellington, Bonnie Crankshaw, Elaine Horton, Dana Thornton, and Eileen Fugate. All of these candidates meet at least one, if not multiple, criteria for voting membership. Is the executive committee in agreement to approve these additional voting members?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then the follow-up piece to that is, will the executive committee approve now having a standing application on our SHAC website so that we can begin to collect members to replace any voting members if they do not maintain their eligibility criteria so that we can build a waiting list.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, now we'll hear our subcommittees. We heard from two at our previous meeting, so we have three more to hear from. The first is mental health. Who is representing mental health subcommittee report this evening?
Okay. She's not here yet.
Okay.
Marina was not able to make this meeting.
Okay.
I can present what they shared with me if you'd like, or we can wait and see if Jennifer arrives.
Yeah, why don't we, since we have others here, we'll wait, and then if she's not here when it's time to come. Thank you, definitely. All right, safety and security. Is that you, Mr. Coleman?
I have the others. So we were working with the crisis center on a couple things and had some switch ups. So if you'll come back to us
okay.
in a couple minutes,
okay.
I'll pull our stuff. And
all right. Student and employee wellness. Is that you, Mr. Byrne?
Yeah, I think so. Can I share a file with you or hook up my computer?
Sure,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You want to come hook up?
One?
You want to come hook up?
Yeah.
Sure.
I put it on the D drive. So I put student and staff on this, so the staff and employee will be interchangeable for the most part. So the goal was to recommend anything missing from Senate Bill 9. Looking at what all Bastrop ISD has and offers under student and staff on this, we don't recommend adding anything. There's so much that Bastrop ISD does. What we really want to do is highlight what Bastrop ISD does, and if we recommend anything, it's kind of marketing or telling about those things that Bastrop ISD does that maybe the rest of the community might not know about. So that's kind of where our presentation was going. And I don't know if that's a recommendation to add marketing of those things to Senate Bill 9, or just kind of maybe there's a one-stop shop that BISD can put on a website. I know the website's loaded with information, but it took us quite a few journeys on the website and on the TEKS and TEA page to kind of compile what all is done for student and staff wellness. So the key factors in student and staff wellness that we kind of highlighted with Senate Bill 9, were these main topics, and they kind of might all come together, but the way Senate Bill 9 and TEA or the TEKS, they kind of divide them up between health education, so what are students learning about health, physical education, what students are learning about being physical or athletic or being active, and then the actual act of being physical, so physical activity or PE, and then nutrition services, and then safe and healthy school environment, and school employee wellness and mental health. So those are kind of the key factors within student and staff or student employee wellness within Senate Bill 9. So Bastrop ISD follows all TA required instruction hours and TEKS, and we work with through email some with you guys on what all BISD does, but within that parameter of the TEKS and what TA, so Texas Education Agency, and I already forgot what TEKS was.
Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills.
That's it, yeah. So what is in the TEKS for TA? Well, the question that was in is huge, like a legal document of 1,000 pages. We found this one question that kind of answered that was, what are the required number of hours and days needed to complete elementary, middle, and high school health education? So even though through 1,000 pages, it's still a little gray, which it can be. So according to 19 TAC, whatever, a school district must ensure that sufficient time is provided for teachers to teach and students to learn all the TEKS for the course. There are no state mandated instructional time requirements. So all that data is still vague and gray. But we're under the impression that Bastrop Busy follows all those requirements, so we're, I guess, assuming that all students or all teachers teach these TEKS and all students learn these TEKS. So we didn't want to recommend anything on that one. Next is the physical education within TEKS and TEA. So within all that, are all public schools required to offer physical education for students? Yes. The Texas Education Code and State Board of Education identify PE as part of the required curriculum in Texas public schools. Additionally, in that required, the school district must provide instruction in all of the Texas essential knowledge and skills for PE at elementary, middle, and high school. So Bastrop follows all those requirements for physical education, so learning about being healthy or physical. And then our school district required to teach all the PE Texas essential knowledge and skills? Yes. So we had, if we're following all those guidelines, so under TEA and following all the TEKS, we're meeting everything in Sendoma. So. Physical activity, also within TEA, the required hours and TEKS for physical activity, so you could change that with PE. Grades pre-K through 5 require students enrolled in full-day pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, or in grade level below grade 6 to participate in moderate or vigorous daily physical activity for at least 30 minutes. So we're all doing that pre-K through 5. Grades 6 through 8, I won't read it all, but still the same thing, 30 minutes, at least 4 or for at least 4 semesters during those grades. So 6 through 8, similar. And then 9 through 12, limits the total number of PE credits that can be earned at 4 credits, although only 1 PE credit is required for graduation. Additional state elective credits may be earned by taking any combination of the approved TEKS-based PE courses. So based on everything that we're following in TEA and the TEKS that we need to meet, we feel like that is good for Sendoma. And then nutrition services is, once again, we do so much within Bastrop ISD, but we felt.
We're probably waiting. I had a question about, as a sub, and I was working at Lugano Elementary a lot, is recess counted on that 30 minutes? Just because I haven't noticed they all.
As far as TA goes, recess can only be counted if they're doing like an additional structured activity, which is not, right? Like recess is free play. But as far as elementary PE minutes go, unless schools are documenting a different way of meeting it besides just the time that kids are in the classroom, I think we're good for middle school and high school, but our elementary PE minutes are not being met. Which I think we were just collecting some data on that recently.
Well, I was just wondering, because you're doing general TEKS, and that's okay,
yeah.
But each grade, the TEKS is divided up specific to each grade level. So you have your general TEKS that says this is the overall goal of what this school is for. And then you go, grades 1 through 3 should specifically follow this, 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 and this within a semester or within a year in order to meet the specific TEKS requirements. So like as a teacher, when I teach TEKS, I have to show in my, like I've taught business education. In business education, I had to show the general TEK, and then I had to show each TEK that I was matching with the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills for my specific grades and my specific classes. So even though it seems like a lot, and I know it does, and TEKS can be overwhelming, I understand that. That's for the general purpose, but are we doing anything specifically to make sure that we're meeting the individual TEKS per grade level that we're required to meet by the state for the entire year, basically, is my question. Because all I'm saying is generality.
Well, that's a great question. We're focused on what can we recommend for Senate Bill 9, not whether or not teachers are following TEKS and guidelines.
Okay.
We're a subcommittee trying to figure out what all Bachelor of ICD does. We're not a subcommittee going to police every teacher making sure recess.
But I was asking, which specific TEKS are you saying are associated with SB 9 for that particular area? I guess is what I'm asking. You're saying we meet the TEKS, but I'm not saying.
We were instructed that we're meeting all the TEKS for physical activity.
So they do have curriculums for elementary and secondary, so they should be meeting the TEKS for.
Yeah.
As far as health goes, those should also be, I think it got moved into PE once they kind of eliminated that requirement for health time. So the TEKS should be being met in those areas. So you're correct. The only thing I think that we are not the TEA code on is elementary PE minutes, because they're only attending twice per week.
And they're supposed to be doing
30 minutes a day.
Thirty minutes daily. Yeah.
So it's you can do 30 minutes daily, or it's like they have it where it can be, if you have a block schedule, it's a certain number of minutes, like over a 2 week period of time, and we're just like a day short.
And
now campuses sometimes have a choice to like say, okay, well we're gonna make up that additional time by doing this, but it has to be this is what we're doing to make up those minutes. But I think as far as TEKS go, I only know this, we do finally have a lady who's over PE, and there was a meeting.
Nice.
And so I'm an adaptive PE teacher for the district, so I go into all the classes. So I do know like what our standards are. And all of the campuses, just based on class size and growth, are now only able to attend per week for elementary.
And see, with our data and research, we wouldn't be able to find those things.
Right. Which I think we're just now able, like, collecting some. I know Ms. Coleman sent out some emails to collect
and recess,
some data
recess
on that particular information.
A team. For nutrition services, it was difficult for us to say, let's recommend this and let's recommend that, because like I said, Bachelor of IC does all these things, and just like I didn't know that, you guys might not know what all BIC does within nutrition services. And it's easy for me to highlight these things because that's what I do for the school district is nutrition services. But we have a program called Kids in the Kitchen, where chefs will go visit schools, and they'll follow kind of healthy recipe. You know, we do, sometimes it's healthy, sometimes it's what kids love, you know, build your own pizzas, but the pizzas we make are flatbread and whole grain. So it's not like a Pizza Hut pizza, it's more of your whole grain, healthier pizza, if that is what you even count. There's chefs that will go visit schools and go through that recipe and give them a chef hat to take home, and some will even autograph it, and they'll give them a recipe to take home and kind of teach about health and nutrition and give them the tour of the kitchen and let them know how healthy eating and cooking from home is easily obtainable. within Bastrop ISD, every school district is supposed to follow TDA required meal patterns. So those meal patterns are separated by groups, so K through 5, 6 through 8, 9 through 12. And those meal pattern charts go into huge depth on saturated fat, trans fat, sodium intake, sugar intake, whole grain intake, vegetable and vegetable subgroup intake. So we have to serve a required number of red orange vegetables, dark greens, peas, legumes, starch, and others. And then also in the meal pattern chart, you're required 8 ounces of fluid milk, both for breakfast and lunch and supper. Bastrop ISD also has a mobile dairy classroom that goes and visits schools that teaches about dairy consumption and how dairy can be good for you and high in protein. Bastrop ISD also adopts all Smart Snack compliant meals and snacks. And Bastrop ISD is under a program called Community Eligibility Program, which is free breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the entire school district. I don't know if you guys knew that, but everyone in Bastrop ISD gets a free breakfast, lunch, and dinner if they so choose. And then we wanted to highlight some of the community partners that Bastrop ISD partners with. And we have a Texas A&M AgriLife, so we know that's close to the community. Wesley Nurses, if they need assistance with individuals and communities in achieving improved health and wellness through self-empowerment and access to healthcare resource information. And then education on diabetes, blood pressure, and health education. And then Bastrop ISD County Cares is also a big part in Texas Accountable Communities for Health Initiative, which if you, we can click on that, but there's a whole list of things within that that strive for healthier and better communities, and most importantly, partnering with the school district to make sure they kind of are together on that initiative. Safe and healthy school environment. We went through with everyone in our subcommittee and the help of Shaq that there is just a huge initiative to make sure schools are safe. And that's statewide. I know the schools go through audits, so I don't want to read everything that was within this, but there's a safety and security coordinator assigned to Bastrop ISD. They've been with us for years, so there's been huge steps and stuff to making sure safety and security is key to every single part of Bastrop ISD. And then,
do you want to share anything on that?
No, not at all. Oh.
That's you, though, right?
That's me.
Yeah.
If you don't know who I am, that's probably a good thing.
So, and then within that is, let's see if I can start this right. So, the coordinator attends faculty staff meeting to answer any questions or concerns about safety and security. That information is provided to the Bastrop ISD Safety and Security Committee, which is made up of BIC board members, Mr. Edwards, Chief Bunch, Bastrop ISD Police Chief, City of Bastrop Fire Chief, City of Bastrop Police Chief, DPS, Texas State Troopers, Bastrop ISD Police Officers, Bastrop County Sheriff's Department, and the Bastrop County Emergency Management Coordinator. So all those people are helping to make sure schools are safe and secure. So with all that, we didn't have any recommendations. Just wanted to highlight what we're currently doing. And last, this is kind of the one where there's a lot of information all over the place, but within the school webpage, there's a whole section on teacher perks and stuff, which we took a lot out of that. But school employee wellness and mental health, these are some of the stuff that's either new or we're currently doing. There's a huge community fitness challenge that everyone can partake in that kind of pushes people to be more physical, partake in physical activity more, and kind of challenge one another to do better and better with that. There's also teacher and staff appreciation days throughout the entire year. Teacher Appreciation Week is coming up, so that's a big part of that. The Education Foundation has grants to help where maybe budgets don't with classroom materials or stuff like that's needed for teachers that the budget might not cover. Employee perks, there's a whole section that if you have your badge that you can get discounts all across the community. So we thought that was a huge employee wellness stuff that they can get at a discounted rate with the badge. There's also teacher loan forgiveness that Bastrop ISD helps with and partners with. I can't remember if the link is in there. And then TA has 5 paid personal leave days annually with unlimited accumulation. Perks like gene passes, and then we do running clubs. And then there's donors, there's a donor approved crowdfunding that is also able to happen. So I think that's it.
That's it.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Any other questions on student and employee wellness? Thank you for those of you that brought those items to our attention.
Hey, what was your name, sir?
Stuart.
Thank you, man. That was, if I have an opening speech, I'll have you open for me. Hey, so before I get into hours, just a couple things with the safety security that we mentioned with some of you guys. I was just joking about that comment. If I don't know you, then I need to get to know you. Making our school district safe and secure, it involves not just the members of the district, not the cabinet, not the board members, but it's a community, it's parents, it's everyone coming together. I get phone calls, emails all night long, all weekend long, if there's an issue going on, and we work through those to make sure we're doing everything that we can. A little bit of background proof on that is we just recently had an audit called the District Vulnerability Assessment. We were one of the 3 schools in Texas that volunteered, and then they've done several others. So we had the review come back to the superintendent and to our executive cabinet that we reviewed. 81 pages along with 581 items that they checked throughout the district. We have 581 passes. There wasn't anything other than a couple recommendations, not requirements. This is a good idea. I couldn't get him to admit, because I know he works for TEA, but we are the best. We're leading the way in that. So again, that goes back to community members, parents, teachers, administrators, everyone pulling together makes that stuff possible. I kind of direct it and put us in the direction that we need to go in, that we need to go to, with my input to Mr. Evers, to the board, to our deputy superintendent, but like everyone working together is how this has been possible. And I can't say enough about it. Like, that's to have 581 items and all of them are a pass. We're gonna make upgrades and we're gonna continue to improve, but we are in a really, really good way with the way we conduct ourselves, from policies and procedures to everyday expectations in the classroom, outside the classroom, and on our facilities throughout Bastrop ISD. The next thing is Carol Armstrong put in a lot more legwork with this than I did, because, I mean, I'm keeping the district safe. Carol partnered with the Crisis Center to talk about some of the items that we have on our list, which revolve around suicide awareness, child abuse,
dating.
What's that?
Dating violence,
and then also not just the education part of allowing teaching students, but getting the involvement of parents and community members to come in and get the training as well. So Carol has worked with the Crisis Center to get several different opportunities with each one of these categories, to where they will offer at no cost training to the community with a class size up to 30 different groups to give the training. And what I think of, I don't think it says it in here, but to me it's train the trainer. So as people come in and learn these skills and learn these different techniques and things that they offer, then they go back and they can teach that back to their group. Along with that, I just want to mention, you know, like if you go to the BIC website, you go under Police Department Safety and Security, we have the in the left hand column, we have a bunch of different articles over there that talks about David's Law. That's the bullying suicide prevention. We also there's different videos of for safety and security and techniques and procedures that we follow and how we get to those policies and procedures along the way. So there's a lot of reading material in there that has already been provided for the last, I know for the last year, we've updated a lot of different information on there. Also, there's information of student code of conduct, and that needs to be signed. That's available to be online. What's the expectations in the classroom? Students and parents see that. Should and we should be making sure that all of those are signed. So when we start the year, they understand what's expected. And then I want to talk real quick, because if not, I would do a lot of injustice to social workers and counselors out at the campuses. So in our classrooms all across the district, we have SEL, social emotional learning, which really, really hits on a lot of these topics that we talk about. And it may not, you know, it may not be the exact topic, but there's curriculum in SEL that's built around that provides information, you know, with talking about self-esteem, how to be a leader, how to report something when something isn't going right, when no means no, what do you do? And then I think it's also extremely important as well to understand that the relationship that teachers build inside the classrooms along with social workers and counselors with those students that have the understanding that if something's not going right, this is what I do. And you know, we can look, and I'm not even going to get into the TEKS part, because the TEKS part is a whole different thing. We're given suggestions, but how they outline those TEKS is going to be something way above my pay grade, and I have no interest in designing any TEKS. Only thing I'm offering is these are some suggestions. So one of the biggest things that I see with Carol working with the Crisis Center and being able to offer those resources is being able to get community involvement in to where parents also see it's important, not just this room at Circle Library, but parents across the district see that these different topics of dating violence, harassment, bullying, all this stuff is important, and they come together as well to be able to get the training. It's not something that we're just teaching to students, but also that everyone in the community is wrapped up in it. And I think when we do those things, when everyone's invested in the same topic and on the same, we're all marching in the same direction, then that's when we're going to be able to be bigger and better than, you know, than what we are right now. But I think for everyone to understand the SEL part is extremely vital within the classroom. 30 minutes of giving these blocks of instructions on different things. Before I came over to this department, I was a teacher in the district, so I have firsthand knowledge of what that curriculum looks like, what the expectations are, how we're pitching this material. So I think as long as we stay within our bounds of what we're teaching in SEL and adding some additional resources to come in and give these at no cost training to groups that say, yeah, I will be there, I think we're in a really good way. And I think that'd be the biggest or the largest recommendation. And Carol, correct me if you think otherwise, but I think once we have those outside agencies and we get community members and parents involved with those programs as well, it's going to also be able to help enforce these things at home, something we don't just talk about at campus, but parents knowing about these things can also help direct their kid, guide their kid on what way they need to go, and then also understand if something goes wrong, well, if this happens and you're doing all the right things and you know all the right material, well, this is what we need to do to report this. This is how we need to let this be brought up.
They're also, I think the school district was talking with the Children's Advocacy Center for the same, kind of the same thing. So our recommendation would be continue with the Family Crisis Center, continue with the Children's Advocacy Center to get, to ensure that we are touching on all everything that is in SB 9, you know, the violence, the dating, the bullying, and such as that. So those are the two community outreaches that we would recommend that the school would continue to enter into.
Absolutely. And then along with that, Kayla Barner, she's one of our sergeants over at the police department. She has an outstanding relationship with that center. And even, I just told Carol that I have a bunch of posters, reporting hotline numbers, phone numbers, that we will get out to all the campuses. It's all new information that came in. It's not anything that costs us anything. It's calling over, or actually I called Kayla and said, hey, can you call some of your people and ask them? And I have a bunch of posters, report hotlines for child abuse, neglect, bullying. All these things will be, go out to campuses to where they can be seen and used. And again, those programs, even from outside agencies, is all age appropriate, grade level appropriate, of informing everyone. And then the last thing is, which house bill is this, Tanya, for
is
the
it,
first aid?
Is it 496? Yes.
496, it's right here. House Bill 496 says that all districts need to offer a first aid class to 7th grade and above. So I know all of you guys care about the community. I know you all have the best interest of Bastrop ISD students in mind. So that's why we can all sign up on a volunteer sheet to go out on May 13th at Cedar Creek High School Cafe from 5:30 to 7:30 and either learn some first aid with the kids or be a helping hand. I've got a bunch of flyers, highly encouraged. Again, I know you see the importance of our students and partnering as a community. I'll put these in the back. We're gonna have some nurse practitioners, I think maybe a PA, some first responders, our medical team up here, and then way back in the day when I was young and handsome, I used to be a medic in the Army. And so I have a lot of first aid, stop the bleed, essentially training. So we'll be out giving that class to the students. It's all voluntary. We first started out with having two programs, but one fell on a Friday at 5:30, and that was on the Bastrop side. 5:30 on a Friday is a really bad time to pull kids together. So we're gonna do a consolidated training, 5:30 to 7:30, anticipated 7:30. Really, really depends on the crowd that we have. And we'll bring those kids in, and they'll teach first aid. Medical professionals will teach first aid for 2 hours, and we'll do hands-on training, but it'll be a good opportunity to come out and learn some first aid yourself, or assist that you know what you're doing, come out and help some of these kids, because there's only gonna be a handful of instructors there, and it'll be a good way to get involved with our kids in the district. 5:30 to 7:30, Cedar Creek High School Cafe, and it'll just be one consolidated training. And that House Bill 496, it says that we as a district have to offer a volunteer program. So if we have three kids show up, we're in compliance with the House bill, but also we're gonna teach three kids how to do first aid. So we may have a huge crowd and we may not, but either way, it's an obligation that we owe to the kids. I think so. Nurse Coleman worked on facilitating this with Ally, so they'll bring their equipment, they'll bring their folks out, and it'll be a good experience for everyone, I think. You guys have to, and I know it was all over the place, just imagine your head, a pretty PowerPoint up there. Does anyone have any questions that you have, or you have the PowerPoint?
Oh, man, it's in the car.
does anyone have any questions? Yeah, I'll leave these back on the back table. You guys can grab one on your way out if you want one. Safety security related though to this, anyone have any questions? Anyone need any, I talk fast sometimes. Anyone need any clarifications on anything?
You said that stop the bleed. Will they get to try the tourniquets?
Yeah,
yes.
So we'll do pressure treatment, and then we'll advance up to last stop being applying tourniquet.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, just so you guys are aware, our teachers, all of our staff, our administrators, before school starts, when they're trying to set up their classroom, we're knocking on the door to schedule these meetings. So teachers will go through the same training, stop the bleed, along with rapid training and some CRAZE, civilian responsive active attack, used to be active shooter, now it's active attack. So they'll have all that training in. Usually one morning, we'll do a block of 3 or 4 hours with round robin, where we train all the staff members. So students won't be a part of that, but the students who choose to come on the 13th, we'll train them and get them the best opportunity we can to expose the medical treatment. Yes, ma'am.
Is this something you do every year, or is this the first?
So it's the first time we've started it. It's the House bill that said, hey, we need to do this.
But I mean, again, from my background, like this is an awesome opportunity. If this was a thing that, you know, and it's one of those touchy subjects where everyone's not going to want to go, or everyone's not going to want their kids exposed to it. Mm-hmm. We had a Beyond the Bell activity the other day, or an event, to where my kid's 13. I signed him up for CPR first aid. Now he knows how to do CPR, and he can do basic first aid over. We had a class over at the service center that community relations held. But I anticipate, and Tanya and I have worked with this, and I don't want to speak too soon, but this is something that I would like to go forward, as long as we can get some medical support,
right,
true professionals, along with our medical professionals here, that we offer this, you know, a couple times throughout the year, not just to meet the House bill, but to meet the real need of, if we ever need this, these kids know what to do.
Okay. Can you also offer CPR and esophageal to all of our seniors, so they all have that as part of their graduation program?
That's right. Will you say that one more time?
Yeah, so CPR and esophageal is a graduation requirement for our seniors.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
On the bullying hotline and the online reporting, can you tell us how that works? So
yes.
I put in something, I report online. Does it go directly?
So it goes directly to Chief Scott Bunch.
Okay.
First it goes to the Deputy Superintendent. And then I only know about it when it gets to Chief. I know how what Chief does once he gets that. So, Dr. Lee, do you want to talk about that piece?
All of the anonymous tip reports, well, anonymous or not, any tip line report comes to my office, and then depending on what the tip is, I send it out to. So if it's law enforcement related, it's going to go to Chief Punch. If it's something specific at a particular campus, it's going to the campus principal. Sometimes it's both Chief Bunch and the campus. If it's something that, you know, integrates both something happening at the campus and a law enforcement matter.
And along with those lines, someone asked me the last time we were in here a similar question about threats or whatever that come in. Guys, I will be the first to tell you that when we get information, it goes to so many different places. It's not information that comes in and sits at Chief's desk or sits on Chief's computer. It's going to the FBI, it's going to the ATF, it's going to federal agencies, it's going to the state, DPS is involved, county's involved, Travis County's involved, Williamson County's involved, all these people that have additional resources to fill this information. So someone asked me about that, and we talked briefly about it, but just so everyone knows, we don't just, well, I think this might be credible, let's go check it out. As soon as we get something, whether we think it's credible or not, it goes out to multiple agencies that investigates it, and then we take the appropriate aggressive action that's needed to make sure this is squashed, kids are safe, teachers are safe at school the next day, whenever it comes in.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Coleman, and I really appreciate you sharing that last piece. I think as far as student health and wellness goes, safety and security is probably at the top of everybody's minds now, and I get those questions too, like, who gets these reports? Do they go anywhere? Is there even a point of me calling in? So thank
yes,
you. I don't see
yes,
Dr. Bigley.
One son
okay.
is ill, so she's having a thing, so
okay.
I'm
okay, thank you, Dr. Bigley.
Have
okay.
I have not been in person at your meeting yet. I was virtual with you guys a couple times, but I'm Amanda Brantley, and counseling falls under my department. So Jennifer Blum is the counselor at Ena Elementary, and then Raina Ellis is our counseling coordinator, and they work on this together with their subcommittee. So they are bringing forward two recommendations of the curriculum that we could adopt for the child protection, or for the, if you will click,
mm-hmm.
for the specific areas that we have to cover by SB9. So child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and human trafficking, we're required to get this out to our students. And this is just the FAQ from SB9. If you guys are gonna put these slides out, all of these links are live. So this will take you to the actual guidance. CPU is the first that they recommended. And if you will click on the top link right there, it's a 2-minute video that goes over a child protection unit, which is part of the second step curriculum that we utilize for our SEL at the elementary level.
Children rely on trusted adults to keep them physically and emotionally safe. Educators like you have a frontline opportunity to protect children day in and day out, including from sexual abuse. Our research-based Second Step Child Protection Unit is designed to support you in this important role that you play. The Child Protection Unit takes a multi-layered approach, first educating both adults and children to recognize and report abuse, then having children discuss and practice personal safety skills. Available for early learning through grade 5, the unit includes 4 key elements that work together to help you provide the best protection: administrator training and guidance, staff training, student lessons, and family materials. With our comprehensive online training, administrators learn how to create a child protection strategy and customize school policies and procedures. Through realistic scenarios, staff learn to recognize indicators of abuse and neglect, respond supportively to children who disclose abuse, and report abuse. Teachers and counselors learn how to teach the student lessons comfortably and address what could be an intimidating topic in a natural way. The classroom curriculum includes 6 weekly lessons that use stories and discussion, songs, and daily practice activities to teach students personal safety skills. Topics such as safety rules, ways to stay safe, and unsafe or unwanted touches are presented in an age-appropriate way for each grade. The more kids talk about personal boundaries and practice how to recognize, refuse, and report, the more they'll know what to do in a real situation. It's also important to keep families informed and educated when it comes to child safety. We've prepared a library of videos and articles to encourage family discussions and take-home activities for reinforcing skills. As adults, it's our job to build safe, supportive communities where children can thrive. Together, we can keep kids safe from abuse.
So as the video noted, this does have parents involved in activities that can be used as well. Okay, so there are parent resources available in English and Spanish that are linked from the Second Step website. There are digital access codes that we can provide to all of our teachers if they're able to log in online. So it is online resources as well as print resources that we do currently have in the district. It covers all of the topics for safety that are outlined by SB9. And again, we've already had these materials. They were purchased as supplemental materials along with Second Step, which is our elementary social emotional learning curriculum. This is actually just pulled from the Second Step website. They're research-based, it does include the family materials, it provides staff training, and it is plug-and-play that they're able to use within the classroom, both teachers and counselors. These are the 6 different units, so there's 6 units across there. These can be taught as standalone, or they can be combined based on similar topics, but these are the 6 CPU lessons. And then these are the parent links. So if you wanted to go in, you could go to secondstep.org and you could use these links to see what the different parent materials are. All right, Play It Safe is the 2nd recommendation from the curriculum they looked at. It ranges from pre-K to 5th grade. There are 1-hour lessons with videos, scripts for the teachers, and then there's a consumable coloring book and workbook that goes along with each of those lessons. And then there are Joe and Susie dolls that are part of the curriculum and how they relay that. And if you click on that Play It Safe, you can see the pictures of Joe and Susie and how cute they are. But it does come with a cost, right? So this is not something that we currently have in districts. We would need to purchase 3 grade levels based on how it is broken up. We've got 8 elementary schools currently. So we'd be looking at over $26,000 for the startup cost for the first year. And then those workbooks are consumable, so they would have to be purchased every year. So estimating an average of 800 students per elementary school at currently 8 elementaries, eventually 10 elementaries, it would be at least $12,000 a year in consumables to utilize this curriculum. It is also age appropriate. It also has the 3-part safety rule, the refuse report, or recognize refuse report. This, if you'll click to the next one, I think is 9 videos, but But it's one per grade level rather than the three per grade level that Second Step has. So this is a comparison chart that they put together for us. Second Step CPU would not cost the district anything. It's something that we currently have in-house. Play It Safe, again, would be $26,000 for startup and $12,000 a year for consumable costs. Kinder through 5 for Second Step, pre-K through 6 for Play It Safe. They both meet SB9. They've got all of the units that need to be taught through that. 6 per grade level, but they can be combined with Second Step. 1 per grade level for Play It Safe. There are videos and teacher materials available for both, and then there are some live links down there if you guys want to access those as well. I think that is maybe the last slide. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I answer any questions for you?
My name is Daigo. I'm a member. So this question, so is this it, right? These are all the subcommittees that are doing presentations?
This is the final subcommittee.
So this question is for all the subcommittees, and how much parental involvement did you have choosing these curriculums?
So the subcommittee met on this. There were multiple recommendations that they looked at. I think there were 5 or 6 different curriculums they looked at, and these were the top two that both met SB9. And had the appropriate workbooks.
That wasn't my question.
I'm sorry.
How much parental involvement did you have choosing curriculums? And this is a question for all the subcommittees that gave the presentation, because SHAC has a requirement of having parental involvement when you are choosing curriculum.
Parent involvement. You know, both Raina and Jennifer are parents in the district. They have children that attend.
No.
But I don't know who all was on the subcommittee. Dr. Morris may have that information. I'm just sharing the slides with you.
Okay, so I can answer that question.
So we have a majority of parents on all of our subcommittees, so there's going to be majority parent involvement in that discussion and decision and what's recommended to the SHAC to vote on.
I feel that I am still not, my question is the answer. So we are, SHAC is a body, right? We are a body, and we form, you gave us a map to form subcommittees.
Yeah.
For example, I am in the health subcommittee. We have parent involvement. When we get together and we choose curriculum, we have parents. So I want to know if the subcommittees had those meetings with parents, and parents review the curriculums that you were presenting today.
Parents represent the majority of the SHAC membership, so yes. Parents are active members of all subcommittees and are actively involved in those discussions and recommendations.
Carol Armstrong, voting member, are you asking as far as outside parents that are not part of the SHAC and what their involvement was, or parents of this SHAC here?
So
I guess I need clarification. Is, you know, did we ask your neighbor or my neighbor as far as our safety or security? Is that what your question is? Is the parent involvement not SHAC members?
So in our February meeting, was that when we formed subcommittees? And then Ms. Morris gave us the map, and then she said we're gonna form health education subcommittee, safety and security subcommittee, and we formed like 5 different subcommittees.
Mm-hmm.
And then my subcommittee met. We review curriculums, I email curriculums, we choose curriculums, we gave a presentation of our health education curriculums, and we have parents, they are here, we have members. So my question to the other subcommittees is, how much parental involvement do you have? And according to our bylaws, it can be people here from the SHAC, or it can be people, parents that were not in the SHAC, but once they become a member of that subcommittee, they become members of the SHAC. So either way, even if they haven't been here in SHAC meetings, once they become a member of the subcommittee, they become members of the SHAC. So I want to know, to each subcommittee that gave a presentation today, how much parents, or how many parents do you have in your subcommittee?
It was her and I think I can probably answer your question, maybe not the way you're looking for it. But if you're looking for other parents to come in and give their input, then sign them up for the SHAC, and they can get on the subcommittee, and we can all decide this together. Now, we didn't go out and knock on any doors and ask anybody to fill out a survey, but the people that was in our room and was divided up on the subcommittee and their parents that are subcommittee, that's where we gathered the input from. Now, if you're asking, did we
describing the opportunities for parental involvement in the development of the curriculum to be used in human sexuality instruction, including information regarding the local school health advisory council established under subsection. And these are also, it is the same requirements for child abuse as denied. So I want to know, who's the other subcommittee? Oh, how many parents do we have in your subcommittee?
In our subcommittee, one, but I mean, I've reached
out. A third. One third.
I would say I've reached out to other parents and teachers, since we are staff and students. So if that's what you're asking, how many other people gave us input, or multiple on our end?
How many parents do you talk to regularly?
I mean, I would say at least 10 or more were feedback from questions that I have for our.
Do you and them represent the same goal and outcome?
Yes.
So dozens?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if every member of the SHAC knows that when the SHAC calls parent involvement, it's not administrators.
Correct.
It has to be parents that do not work for the school district.
Our
That's
SHAC is
not a requirement, but we do have parents involved who are employees of this district and parents who are not employed by the district.
Mm-hmm. She is a parent.
Mm-hmm. And this question is going to be for Ms. Morris. So are we going to follow the map that you gave us?
So it is 5:58. My recommendation to the executive committee, if they're in agreement, would be for us to conduct a May SHAC meeting. We've already met our required four for the year, but I would suggest May 28th. I understand we will no longer be in school, and I think with May being as full as it is with graduation and other end of year activities, waiting until all of the dust settles from that meeting on the Tuesday following Memorial Day, the 28th, for the express purpose of the five committees making their recommendations and the voting members that are present making their decision on the three things that need to be recommended to the board, which are our sex education, dating violence and sex trafficking requirements, and then the decisions that we make as a group in-house that do not go before the board for the other subcommittees, the things like student and employee wellness, mental health. How do y'all feel about that?
I think we need another meeting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see if I understood, and I'm sorry if I need to, you know, be wrapped around what you said. So next meeting, all the subcommittees are going to give a presentation?
No, we've already given the presentations. We will be voting as a SHAC on what recommendations we'd like to accept. For example, we've got this great chart up here. So there's two recommendations for us to choose from when it comes to what we're going to do at the elementary level. We will take the majority decision on which of those two programs we want to adopt.
Where are the curriculums that we presented, the health education subcommittee presented in our last meeting?
So you presented those in the last meeting. What I'm saying is that the next meeting, those five subcommittees and their recommendations, for example, this is the one from mental health, those will be before the voting membership to choose between. So if there's two options, if there's three options.
So I'm going to send by email the health education curriculum that we choose through email so that all the members can have it, because some of the members that are here right now, they were not in our last meeting when we gave our presentation.
Sure. So if you have already shared that with Mrs. Coleman, she can send all the subcommittee's recommendations out to the mailing list, so that they can review them ahead of time and put a point of contact on there, so that they have questions or want additional information or would like to look at the website, those kinds of things ahead of time, so that when we come together on the 28th, we're ready to make an informed decision.
Okay, and according to Texas Education Code, we have to have two presentations before the members vote to give a recommendation to the school board. And then my next question will be, does the board already made a resolution convening the SHAC to adopt this curriculum?
Nothing has been presented to the board, so no vote has been made. That will be
so
something
it's
that they
be
vote
some
on in the
next
summer.
Okay, so that means this year the school district is not teaching anything about SB9 or sex education?
No, that's not correct, but the things that are in place already were not voted on by the SHAC, because that that was a piece of leadership that was missing.
I see.
And something that we've worked on getting resolved for moving forward.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
So just for clarification, because I'm really interested in that, is it possible for everybody that's a member to get each of the presentations so that we can review them before May 28th?
Yes.
And then we have a really, if we don't review them, it's on us.
Right.
You know, if we have it in front of us and we can look and compare and read, I think that's amazing.
Okay.
That gives us such a great opportunity to contrast and compare, look at different costs, because presentations are, don't get me wrong, everybody's been wonderful, but when I walk out, I'm like, okay, who said what, where, about what?
Yes,
you know? Yeah. So having it in a block where you can say, okay, this is our, this and this is the recommendations for this, I think that would be amazing and really appreciative. And I think it's something that we ought to always think about every year when we come to these big, huge decisions, especially since we all know, and I know it's a very sore subject, but I know money is super tight in district this year. So we have to be very cautious that we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater and saying, well, this is going to cost too much, even though it's a way superior thing for our kids, because we have to think of the kids first. But by the same token, we don't want to just throw money out there and say, oh, because it's, you know, $50,000, got to be better than the $12,000. So I think a good comparative is great for everybody.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. It is 6:03, so I am going to... Yes.
So we need to get the new members, the 7 new members. Do not need to be voted on?
No, the executive committee already approved them. Thank y'all so much for your time.